1 Kings chapter 19. 1 Kings chapter 19. Then I'm going to read a single verse in Joel chapter 2. 1 Kings 19, very familiar passage of Scripture. And verse number 5. And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink and laid him down again. The angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. And he arose and did eat and drink, and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mount of God. Joel chapter 2, and verse number 1. Blow ye the trumpet in Zion, and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand. I'm going to read that one more time. We have come to a place, before I read it, I'm going to say something. Now, I've never preached a revival here, although I have preached to some of you a lot of times in different settings. Never preached a revival here. I'm an evangelist, and that's what I do, and I preach revivals. Now, I do understand that it is an impossibility for us to have a revival in 5 days. I do understand that. That is not a possibility, but we can get one started. That is something that we can do, and I understand that also. Me and Brother Jarvis, and today, he made this statement that this is happening quite often, and I'm not throwing off on this. I'm simply making a statement right here at all. I'm not throwing off on this at all. A lot of times anymore, people are having pastors come in and preach them a meeting. A pastor cannot preach you a revival. A pastor will never be able to preach you a revival. He does not have the capabilities. And the reason he doesn't have the capabilities is because he already has a harness of a burden on him, that he cannot pull two loads at the same time. I've done tried it. I knew it was impossible beforehand, but after I was pastoring, I found out for certain it was an impossibility, because he cannot get in double harness with the preacher and pull, because he already has a harness on. But as an evangelist, it is your job, in my opinion, as an evangelist, for me to come in here to get in double harness with the pastor and to pull. Are you hearing me? And to pull. And here's my job. And a lot of people don't like this. But this is the job of an evangelist. Comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable. That is the job of an evangelist. Comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable. Hallelujah. Amen. That is the job of an evangelist. Hallelujah. And so, I'm going to be an evangelist. Now, I do this all the time, as I've already said, and on top of that, I've done it all my life. This is about all I've known, to be honest with you, is evangelizing. And I must tell you, I'm not talking about this church. I've only been here for one Sunday morning service and then the part of this service tonight. So I'm saying this with a totally clear conscience, but I'm telling you, as an overall rule, we are becoming quieter and quieter and quieter. As an overall rule. Now see, I don't have a gauge to go by with you here at this church. I don't have a gauge to say, well, you was one time like this and now you're like, so I'm not saying anything derogatory toward you. I'm saying Pentecostal people as a whole have become quieter and quieter. They want everything to just be this, and they want it to be like this. But I want You know, they want everything to kind of, let's don't rock the boat. You know, somebody gets loud, oh, my gracious. You know, why do they get so exuberant about that? But listen what the Bible said. Blow ye the trumpet in Zion. Sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let me tell you something. You get an alarm on your car, you don't want an alarm on your car that goes beep, 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 beep. Everybody goes, well, that don't bother me too much right there. Hello? You want an alarm on your vehicle or on your house that wakes up the neighbors, wakes up their dog, wakes up the police department. Are you hearing me? It is an alarm. That is the purpose of that. Blow ye the trumpet in Zion. Sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh. Is there anybody that would agree with that anyway? The day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand. Stretch your hands this way and ask God to touch us. Lord, I need the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Thank you for your goodness and for your mercy. Thank you for the Spirit and the power of God. I'm asking you, Lord, to anoint my lips of clay. Let the power of the Holy Ghost fall fresh in this place tonight. Let somebody's heart, Lord God, be changed toward you. Jesus' wonderful name, hallelujah. And everybody said together, amen and amen. I want to preach basically tonight on revival, and I want to preach on the necessity of now. The necessity of now. The word necessity simply means an unavoidable need. An unavoidable need. A need that you have. You know, I've heard people say they had things in their life that they thought was a necessity, that they were nothing but an add-on. They were nothing but an option that they would like to add to their life. But a necessity is an unavoidable need. And I must tell you today, if I've ever seen a time when I would say that we have a necessity for revival, it is the day and the hour that we are living in. Can you say amen? And there's a story in the Bible that we've heard all of our lives. If you've been in the house of God, you've read no telling how many times. It's the story of the 10 virgins, 5 wise and 5 of them are foolish. There's something about that story that has always been disturbing to me, and that is this, that in that story, the wise and the foolish all slept. Everybody was asleep at such an inopportune time for you to be asleep. The virgins were all sleeping. Thank God some of them had made necessity before they went to sleep. But the problem is everybody was asleep. Brother Clendenin, Brother B.H. Clendenin told something. I don't believe I'll ever forget it as long as the Lord leaves me with my right mind. He said the Spirit of God spoke to me and told me for us to have an all-night prayer meeting at Beaumont, there where he pastored. He said, so I began to announce it. Maybe had it in the bulletin on Sunday morning before I got up to preach. He said, I made the announcement tomorrow night on Monday night. We're going to have an all-night prayer meeting here. And he didn't have to tell everybody the need for it. He said, listen, we got to have this. And so I want you to come here around 8 o'clock, and we'll gather together. There'll be a little time there, and then we'll go into, I'll maybe give you a little charge, and then we'll go into prayer meeting. He said on Sunday morning there in Beaumont, there was about 500 in that service. He said, I began to preach on prayer that morning. And he said, the power of God fell in the house. And people began to dance and to shout and to run the aisles and rejoice as I preached on prayer. And miraculous and marvelous answers to prayer. He said, man, we had a great move of God. At the end of the service, again, I announced tomorrow night at 8 o'clock, we're having an all-night prayer meeting. Everybody that can be here in the house. He said, Sunday night we showed up, basically a repeat of Sunday morning. He said, I told them before I preached, Are we going to have prayer meeting 8 o'clock tomorrow night? He said, again, I preached on prayer. Brother Ken, he said, people shouted and ran the aisles, fell out on the floors. I mean, they had a great holy roller meeting, as we would used to say. And he said, after it was over with again, I made the same call to prayer tomorrow night at 8 o'clock. He said, I went to the church somewhere around 7, and he said, I knelt down, and for an hour I prayed. He said, I was attempting to have a spirit of prayer in the congregation before they ever arrived. He said, when I looked at my clock, watch, whatever he had there, he said it was 8 o'clock. He said, I turned and I walked to the platform and I looked out into the congregation. He said, to my dismay, there was 50 people there. He said, after I gave a few comments, he said, I turned around and fell across my pew and began to our chair and began to weep. And he said, God, yesterday morning there was 500 people here. Last night there were 500 people here. They shouted and ran the aisles while I preached on prayer. He said, tonight when it's time to pray, there's 50 people here. He said, God, what is going on? Brother Clendenin said, the Holy Ghost spoke to me and said, Bert, this is the percentage of the church that is going to heaven. This is the percentage of the church that is going to heaven. 10%. I must tell you, church, we have a necessity now for a revival. I said, we have a necessity now in our lives for a personal revival. I must tell you tonight, revival doesn't start in here. It never has and it never will. Revival has started in our personal lives, in prayer closets, where men and women begin to understand the necessity of me having a move of God now. I cannot help what that family over there is doing. I cannot help what that family over there is doing. I don't really know what's going on in their life. What I do know is I have a necessity in my life for a revival. I have to wake up for myself. Romans chapter 13 and verse 11 said, and that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. I must tell you tonight, I am afraid the church, in all of her talk about it, does not really comprehend the time. If we knew the time, it wouldn't be hard to shake ourselves and say, it's time for me to go to the house of God and be a different parishioner than I have ever been. It's time for me to be a different kind of prayer warrior than I have ever been before. Hey, I'm going to preach to y'all a little while. I want to tell you something right now, brother. The day and the hour of playing church is past. It is time that the church wakens up, livens up, fires up. Somebody say amen. I want to tell you what, he's coming back for a glorious church. It will be without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. I want to be in that 10%. I don't know about you. I said, I want to be in that 10%. I don't want to have wasted my time. Came to the house of God. I put my money in it. Put my time in it. And mess around. And the Spirit of the Lord passed me by. I got news for you. We have a necessity now for a move of God. I'm going to tell y'all something. Time is flying on wings faster than it seems it has ever flown before. You hear me? America is on the brink. You don't have to believe this. The Bible said knowing the times, the reason you wouldn't believe this is because you're out of touch with the Holy Ghost. America is on the brink of turning her back on Israel. When we do that, we are in more trouble than you ever imagined we could be. Are y'all hearing me? I said we are in more trouble. We are never going to have peace with this Islamic crowd. It's never going to happen. They're never going to, you know. And I know now Sister Arlene back here, she's fixing a stroke out on me probably. And I'm not preaching against radio. I just don't listen to the radio much anymore, because I get upset when I listen to the radio, and it causes my blood pressure to go up. Now, I wasn't listening probably to her station, so she's off the hook. I'm talking more about conservative talk show hosts. One night, I was personally talking face-to-face with Sean Hannity. I told him, I said, you looking here? You're looking at the far right. Hallelujah. He said, well, I've never been accused of being liberal. My problem is when they get to talking on there and they're talking about their solutions, I get all tore up driving down the road and talk to them. Hallelujah. And most of the time, this is what I do. I holler, read the Bible. Read the Bible. You don't have a solution to this mess. Read the Bible. There's going to be enmity between that seed and this seed forever. And God put it in there. And you can't get it out. Are y'all hearing me? They are bent on the destruction of Israel. I'm glad to tell you tonight, there's more than an iron dome over Israel. There is a hand of God over the land of Israel. Are y'all hearing me? But America's going to be in trouble when she does it. I tell you, they wouldn't believe it at NBC. They wouldn't even believe it at Fox. But I come to tell you tonight, the only thing hanging back or holding back the hand of God from America is not our colleges. They went to hell in a handbasket. It is not our think tanks. It is not our prestige. It's churches all across America tonight that are having church and are talking about the name of Jesus. They would lap you up with a local TV station if you made that statement. I got news for you. We need to have a revival, and we need to have it today, right now. Can you say amen? Here's what the problem is with sleep. Sleep causes you to lose track of time. Now, everybody in here has been a victim of that at one time or another, I'm sure, in your life. The alarm didn't go off. Hello? That's what the deal was. Anybody ever accidentally turned your alarm off and didn't know you did it? Anybody besides me? Well, we got one or two or three in here, and the rest of you, you do it so often you can't even remember. It's just secondhand to you. Huh? See, when I'm asleep, I lose track of time. You wake up and you look around and you go, oh my gracious, I didn't know it was that late. When you have revival anymore and the power of God really wakes people up out of their sleepy state of lethargy, almost to a person, they'll make the statement, I didn't realize in what kind of shape I was in. I didn't realize what kind of shape the world around me was in. You know what it was? When you are asleep, you do not understand the passing of time. Amen, amen. That is why it is high time for the church to wake up. I said to wake up. The angel of the Lord came to Elijah. This is an interesting story. Elijah's laying here asleep. Hallelujah. He is wore out from running from a woman. That's an interesting story all in itself. He is totally wore out from running from Jezebel. He's laying down here, and he's went to sleep. He's out of it.
an angel of the Lord appears. And evidently, I don't know, and you don't know. So you can preach it your way when it's your turn. Right now I'm preaching. anyway, this angel had time to start a fire, bake a cake. Now I know he could have spoken, it could have appeared. But let's say for sake of the story, he went through the motions. He started a fire. He baked a cake. He got everything completely ready. And he done all this while Elijah is laying there asleep. Do you know why Elijah was running? For his life. But he had got so wore out running for his life. Do you know if that angel would have been one of Jezebel's men, Elijah would have died. He would have died in his sleep. But it was an angel of the Lord. The angel reached over, grabbed him by the shoulder, said, "Arise and eat." He woke up, looked over there, and hey, aren't you glad that when Jesus has a table spread, you don't sit down and there's nothing there? Hallelujah. I must tell you tonight, there is provision made for us to have a move of God. Y'all ain't hearing me. I said there is provision made for us to have a move of God. God doesn't tell us you have a move of God and hope I show up. He said in the last days, saith the Lord, I will pour out of my spirit on all flesh. That is the promise of the Father. I'll tell you, there is provision made for me and you to have a move of God in our home, in our church, at our job, in our life.
Elijah gets up, staggers around over there, and has him a seat, eats him a bite, drinks him some water, and then does something that blows my mind. He laid down again. You say, "Well, that don't seem so odd." Let me ask you a question. If an angel wakes you up tonight, do you think you're going to go back to sleep? Hello? I got news for you. A week from now, you may be wondering about going back to sleep. He was so asleep, he could not comprehend who it was that woke him up. He did not even recognize the fellowship of a heavenly being from another world. I got news for y'all. I'm preaching to a church world today. When you preach the message, they look at you, shake their head, and say, "That's the preacher. That's his ideas. That's just what he thinks." And they don't realize that it's really the Holy Ghost of eternity shaking us and saying, "It's time to wake up. It's time to get a hold of yourself. It's time to throw yourself on the altar and say, I've got to arise and I've got to eat and I've got to shake myself." But Elijah had no recognition that he was dealing with a heavenly being. The Bible said he laid him down again. A few weeks back, I was praying about this passage of Scripture. And I said, "God, this is the most unbelievably apt description of revival today that I've ever seen. You have a few nights of meeting. The Spirit of God comes by, grabs you by the shoulder, shakes you up a little bit. You run to the altar and say, 'Oh God, forgive me for where I've been. Forgive me for how lax I've been. Forgive me for the place I've slid to in my life.' And then when revival's over, 2 weeks has went by and you have laid down again.
And I go back to the same church a year later, and the same folks that was asleep last year are asleep again. Are y'all hearing me? We're so asleep anymore that God can't wake us up hardly in the middle of the night to pray about anything. Oh, we eat and drink. If we come to the house of God and every other Sunday night, and it don't happen that much anymore, but every few Sunday nights, if we have a little move of God and we feel a little bit, we shake ourselves, we say, boy, that's good enough for me to know I've still got the Spirit of God with me. He said, arise and eat. He didn't say lay down and go to sleep again. But I'm going to tell you something. Aren't you glad for the second word that comes from heaven? I'm going to tell you, he gave up on all of us after we ignored the call a few times. We had all be lost. But thank God the angel, I don't know, you know, the Bible didn't say the angel ever left. Have you ever noticed that? He went to sleep, it looks like, in the very presence of a heavenly messenger. Hey, listen, y'all, every real revival I've ever been in, there has been people in those revivals that have went back on God. I have never been in a real move of God where people were shook and it turned into an extended move of God, that people that had not been saved for years backslid in the middle of revival. You know what happened to them? They came to the place where the Holy Ghost shook them. They looked around, and then they rejected the provision of God. Hey, my friend, listen to me. The necessity is right now. The day is right now. The time is right now that we have to have a move of the Holy Ghost in our lives.
The word of the Lord, the angel of the Lord came again. The second time, and shook him. Hey, get up, Elijah. Eat and drink. This time, he had something. He said, because the journey is too great. Can I just reiterate that in different words? You can't make it like you are. Hold on just a minute, brother. You're talking about Elijah, man. He just got through calling fire down from heaven over here on Mount Carmel, were you? No. God said you can't make it in the condition you're in right now, Elijah. You cannot survive the journey in the condition you're in right this minute. You can't make it, Elijah. Get up, eat and drink. And he woke up that time, and he ate, and he drank. And the Bible don't say anything about him going to sleep again. All we hear is that for 40 days, and 40 nights, he went on. The strength of that meat that he had ate right there in this spot. Hey, brother, I want to ask you a question. If this is the meeting where you get to arise and eat, if what you get out of this meeting is what it's going to take to sustain you in the days ahead, you know what the Holy Ghost was really saying to him? You've got a gap fixing to come up in your life in nourishment. You can't make it unless you eat right now. I want to ask you a question. Can you survive the gap? I said, can you survive the gap? If I don't eat now, if I don't have revival now, if I don't wake up right now, what am I going to do? My dad started a Christian school. I went to 1 year of public school. My dad was so appalled by the things that I learned in that first year at public school that Dad started a Christian school at home. And that's been many, many years ago. It's still in existence. We got a little older. We would evangelize through the summer, and then in the fall and winter and spring, Dad would run the school, and we would just preach revivals kind of in a local area a lot of the time. My cousin, well, they lived through the woods from us about, 100 yards, 150, 200, I don't know. I've never stepped it off. I don't guess. Maybe 200 when my mind gets to thinking about it here. Through the woods, we all lived way out in the country. My cousins were older than I was, my oldest cousin had his driver's license already, and a lot of times Dad would have to stay after school and grade things and take care of paperwork and so forth. And we would ride with my cousin. One day, I came walking through the woods, and me and my brother and sister came walking through the woods. My sister was very small and probably in kindergarten. We came walking through the woods together, and when I came into the yard, we had a very large yard. I came through the woods, and I came to the yard, and I got about halfway across the yard. I could hear my mother crying uncontrollably. I thought to myself, my first thought was somebody's died or something terrible. Maybe she's hurt herself. She's here by herself. And I remember I ran to the door, and we had sliding back glass doors on our house, and I slid the door and cracked the door open, and I looked in, and my mother was laying in the floor. Before I ran in there, I just stood there and listened for a minute, trying to assess the situation. And I realized after just a moment, Brother Greg, that it was a different kind of crying. It was a heartbroken prayer kind of crying. I just shut the door, and I told my brother and sister, just put your lunch pails near by the door, and we'll go play until Mom gets through. After a while, Mom called us in, and we went in. That evening, I noticed that Dad had got home, and Mom fixed a good meal, and we sat down at the meal. My mother's eyes was all puffy and red, and she sat across from us at the table. We all ate, but Mom didn't eat. I come through the woods the next day. A very same repeat of the day before. I could hear my mother weeping uncontrollably. I come, look through the window. She's laying there on the floor. Just a repeat, total repeat of the day before. Sat down at the supper table that night, Brother Jarvis. She made a big meal. We all ate. She sat there, didn't eat. I come through the woods 5 days later. Repeat, every day, same thing. Every day I came through the woods, same thing. Mom's laying on the floor weeping and wailing. We eat that night. Mom doesn't eat. 5 days go by. 10 days go by. 15 days go by. Same thing every day. 20 days go by. Same thing. 20th day, I come walking through the woods. I can hear my mother wailing. Her voice is weak now. Her body's weak. She sits across the table from us. Her eyes are sunk in. She watches us eat. On that 21st day, I came walking through the woods. This is what I heard. Some of you don't know I can do this, but I can. I heard this right here. Woo! Woo! And that's what my mother does when she gets happy. I could hear her hooping when I came through the woods. I came to the house. I cracked the back door, and I could hear her hooping and around in the middle of the floor. Woo! She is a shouting and a dancing all over the place. That night we sat down. Mom ate with us. And she never said anything about what had went on. And we just knew things was better again. Mom was kind of back, and everything had kind of changed. It wasn't till later, one night while she was preaching, we figured out what had happened. She said, "Y'all, not long ago, I feel the Holy Ghost now."
She said, y'all, not long ago, she said, the Spirit of God spoke to me and told me I had lost my first love. And when the Holy Ghost spoke that to my mother, for 21 days she laid in the floor and wailed and begged God and never touched a lick of food. You know what she was doing? She was trying to get back. She was trying to have revival. I want to tell you, it bothers me anymore to preach and people look at you like you fell off of a stump and wonder why you're so exuberant about it. I come to tell you, if we're going to have revival, we're going to have it now, or we're not going to have it at all. I preach to too many people now that did not survive the gap, and the next time you came, they were gone. Because when the Spirit of God came and said, arise and eat, they did not wake up and they did not shake themselves and realize he's talking to me.
We always think the preacher's talking to somebody else. But I want to tell you, there is a necessity of you having revival now. The Lord spoke to me a little today. He gave me a few things to preach this week. My family is here. I preach in front of them all the time. I do not say things for sensationalism. There is nothing to that. And in the long run, sensationalism will catch up with you. But I want you to hear me right now. There's some parents under the sound of my voice. You're either going to have revival right now or your children are going to go to hell. Do you understand? Did I stutter? No, I didn't say they might. I said your children are going to go to hell because there is a necessity of you having a personal revival right now. The good thing about it is there is provision for you to have one. I said there is provision for you to have one. There is an ability for you to shake yourself and to wake up and look around and say, Lord, it's not my brother nor my sister, but it's me, O Lord, that is standing in the need of prayer. I have got to wake up my own self. I've got to come out. I can't wait on them. I can't wait till my peers all do it. I've got to start my own self, because I may run into a gap when this revival is over where there is no spiritual provision for a long time. And what I eat now will make the difference in whether I survive the journey. Can you say amen? Oh God, help me, Lord. I come to tell you tonight, there is sustaining grace for the days ahead. But the only way we are going to be sustained in the days ahead is if we eat now of what the Father has provided for us. Sister Darla, church. Church. There's a lot of church going on tonight. A lot of church. I'm more transparent, it seems, sometimes than other preachers. I guess that's a characteristic of my nature. Y'all, I have been fighting despair taxpayer. I do this every week. I haven't counted it up last year. I told Brother Jarvis today, year before last, I spent 40 nights in my own bed. That's a lot of being gone from home. I do this every week. I try to preach what God gives me. I listen to the voice of the Lord. I don't have a set group of messages that I preach from here to there. I'm going to tell you something. Our pretty preaching. I'm going to tell you what our pretty preaching. Ooh, I need to preach just a little bit more. I'm going to tell you what our pretty preaching has done. I'm going to tell you what our three-point preaching in a poem has done. I'm going to tell you what it's done. It's done that right there. And it's done that right there. And it's done that right there. That's what it's got us. I'm going to tell you what we need. We need some leather lung John the Baptist that'll walk out of a prayer closet where they have talked to God, that has a word from God that'll throw the notebook down on the desk somewhere, leave that mess at home, and come to church and say, "Thus saith the Lord." That's what I was doing a while ago, and that's what I'm doing tonight. I'm telling you, we've got to have a move of God now. I said, we've got to have a move of God now. I did not say that to the church down the road, what I said to you a while ago about somebody's children are going to go to hell if you don't have a revival right now. I said that to this church because I felt God put that in my heart today. That is a word from heaven to somebody under the sound of my voice. I don't know about you, but I cannot afford collateral damage with my children. Are y'all hearing me? I said, I cannot afford collateral damage with my children. This is worth more to me than anything that I possess. Anything I've got to do, anything I've got to say, anywhere I've got to go to have a move of God to keep them out of hell, I'm willing to do it. Can you say amen? It doesn't matter if you think I'm odd, if you think I'm strange, if you think I'm eccentric. None of that matters. All that really matters to me is when I walk out of this pulpit, if heaven will clap its hands and say, "That's exactly what I told you to say." Are y'all hearing me preach? Brother, I got news for you. We're needing a move of God that'll shake us up, that'll wake us up, that'll wake up the people beside us and say, "I've had all I can stand. I ain't gonna be this way no more. I'm arising from the dead." Stand all over the house. Raise your hands to heaven and say, "Lord, wake me. Wake me up." Come on, somebody. Lord, wake me up. Hey, I'm opening the altars right now. I want everybody that wants a Holy Ghost revival in your life to hit this altar. Throw your hands in the air. I'm not waiting to see who else comes. I'm not waiting to see what they do. I'm coming for myself. I've got to have a move of God, and I've got to have it now. Necessity is right now. Shako Rinime Osaraba Kinanini Osarebe. Don't make it a 3 or 4 minute prayer meeting. That's not going to get it done. Tell him, "Lord, wake me up." Pray till you know he shook you awake. Pray till you can see your need. Pray till you can see your indifference. Pray till you can see your backsliding. Pray until you know heaven's heard you. And tell him, "I got to have a move now. I got to have it today." Who am I? Nicholas. Come on. Come on, church. This is your meeting.
I want to go back, Lord, to
the place. I wasn't preaching to the church down the road tonight. I was preaching to this church.
Received you. take.
I've got to wake up for my children's sake. I've got to have revival now for my children's sake. I've got to have a move of God today for my children's sake. You say, I don't have any children. Oh, yes, you do. You look around this church. They're yours. You can't afford for one of them to go to hell. Not by looking at you. If they judge their spirituality by you, how spiritual will they be? Shit, I'm not going to die. Can I go shut up?